Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. We have a jam-packed episode for you this week. We have three guests with us. That makes five total people on this episode. Andy, first of all, I just want to touch it back to you. How are you doing? It's been a couple of days since we hung out. How are you?
It has been. It's been the same. Nothing has changed. The days are all one at this point. I'm not sure what month we're in anymore. But, you know, this show at least keeps a little grounded in this in these trying times we're in
Indeed,
right now.
I wish we recorded this show at the same day every week because it would at least keep my days straight, but that's not happening.
Yeah.
So joining us this week, we have Michael Yum, the CEO of PM Studios. We have Fernando Cruz, the director of Evolutus, and Nick Torchia, the executive producer of Evolutus. What is going on, everybody? We'll start with Fernando. How are you?
I'm fine, and you, man? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very late where you are. It's like the morning, yeah, technically. So we do appreciate you coming to join us. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the invite. It's exciting to talk with you guys and, you know, to talk more about the upcoming game.
Yeah, this should be a lot of fun. Who's left here? I'm sorry. Oh, Mike. Yes, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You're the only one that doesn't have a name in the Google chat. It's just the phone number, so I blanked on your name. I have the memory of a goldfish. Anyway, for those of you that are new to the Dual Screens Podcast, this is very simple. This is an interview show where we bring on industry guests, whether they're voice actors, directors, artists, programmers. It doesn't matter who they are. They all have a story to tell, and we are the platform for them to do so. The Dual Screens Podcast posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean. And you can find everything we do on dualscreens.com and every episode goes up on our YouTube at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Let's just jump right into this thing. Evolutus. Andy and I saw this game at PAX East this year, right before the entire world went to shit. And it was visceral. It was pretty damn shocking. It was pretty awesome. Andy, what were your thoughts when you played? Because I know you were blown away by it.
Yeah, my first thought was like, I am playing Aeon Flux or like a heavy metal or like a Blade Runner or like an Akira. It feels like I was playing an actual 80s anime and I was obsessed with it. Obsessed.
He's not lying.
Well, thanks so much.
So I guess the question here is, and I'll let you guys decide who answers this. Can you explain to our listeners, what is Evolutus?
I think Fernando should answer that.
I can answer his question. So, Evolutus is basically a 2D story-driven action adventure game that features three main playable characters that will have their paths intertwined at some point in the game. So, the characters, they are so realistic. There is so much depth on their personality and traits. We believe the players will get really attached to them, we expect. So mostly because they are like us, you know, they are flawed human beings and they're going through some hardships in their life. For example, like Chelsea, our female character, she's a famous wrestler and she has thousands of fans, you know, money, etc. But there is something missing inside of her, you know, like her best friend is her cat named Oliver. And she's a person of high integrity that has to go against her principles in order to keep her no biological father alive. So we are working so much on the characters, you know, to make them to look like human beings, you know.
That's awesome. And it is kind of, you know, from the limited scope that we got to sit down and play at PAX, it did feel very, very down to earth. It felt, as much as the atmosphere was very fantastical and it felt very almost like neon punk, it still felt very grounded in some form of reality. Like the emotions that you were seeing across the screen were very real. I assume that was, that's, you know, part of the thing with all three characters and not just the one we played, because we played one the gentleman, I forget what his name was.
It's Damon Reed.
Gotcha.
Damon.
I mean, it was insane. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with like choice, right? Like a lot of these things were, you could mm-hmm. do, you know, one or two different things depending on, you know, what your play style is. Can you go a little bit about what decisions you're going to be making in the game?
Yes, for sure. So it will change a lot of the story. You know, if, I don't know if you played the demo at Axis, mm-hmm. but if you do not kill the guy who was hot riding your bike, you find him later in the game, mm-hmm. and you remind him that you did not kill him and stuff like that. You know, it was just like a small example, but it is basically like that. You know, so there will be a lot of choices in the game.
How long ago did you guys start this thing? How long have you guys been in development?
Well, it all started in 2015. You know, it was a time that I was studying about transhumanism, such as like mind uploading, lifespan pills, and nanotechnology, basically all kinds of futuristic technology, you know. So I've been reading and researching about Aubrey de Grey, who is known as the father of transhumanism, Michio Kaku, Jason Silva, the creator of Homo Evolutis, Juan Enriquez, I think that's his name, Yuval Harari, the creator of Sapiens and Homo Deus. So by doing this research and reading, I found it quite interesting and crazy at the same time. And it started to raise some questions like, what is it to be human? Do we have a soul? What if we could transfer our minds, our memories to a new body? Would your brains be hackable? Could they erase our memories and rewrite history?
All the simple
would
questions.
Would this body
in life,
be
right?
A simple? Would this body be? Would this body be a simple ghost in the shell? And if it ever happens, who would be pulling the strings? You know, or has it already happened and we all living in a computer simulation? You know, so I was really addicted to this concept. And that was the start point for Evolutis, you know. And of course, it is not a transhumanist propaganda, or we're not trying to teach people, like to force them to believe in a certain type of religions or whatever. You know, we want let the players to decide what they believe in. You know, but basically, Evolutis is more about the characters. Their struggles and their interactions among one another, you know. It is basically that.
I got a question for Mike and or Nick. What drew PM Studios to this project? What made you say we want this under our team's banner?
I guess I'll take that question. So I actually knew Nick for a long time, and Nick joined the project. He was showing me what he was up to, and as soon as I saw like a little snippet of the game, just even the graphics, I was like, oh, I knew we had to do this game. Like, I've never seen anything like it before. It just completely blew me away. And then the moment I talked to Fernando and kind of got an idea of the game, I knew it was something that could be groundbreaking. And so they had a few plans for the games, and I just told them I'm willing to back up anything to make this one happen for them. So it was simple. Like, yeah, when anybody really sees like the first, you know, scene or just any scene from the game, I think they will be blown away by it. And it completely shocked me. I haven't seen anything like this. And I play a lot of video games.
called
it's a true gamer.
It was like Detroit Become Human, but with actual engaging gameplay. That's how I described it.
Yeah, true.
Real quick, Nick here. Yeah, just to add on to what Mike said, it was it was actually really interesting because it's actually kind of an interesting story. So real quick, Fernando had posted the trailer on like Facebook, and it just kind of came across my feed. This was in, Fernando, I think it was like November 2018. And I just blindly emailed Fernando because I was doing some biz dev for some other people, and we just started talking. Then we kind of became, I guess you can say, became like Facebook friends, even though that sounds lame. But we just started chatting, and then all of a sudden, I was like, "Hey, you know, this was all new to me. I'm like, do you mind if I try and help you find publishing funding? And, you know, because these guys are trying, you know, they're trying to make the game. There's a lot of moving pieces. And we were close. We reached out to a couple different publishers. They were into it, but then they didn't get back, blah, 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 blah. Then fast forward, I think it was like 3 days before the Indiegogo. Like I said, I had lunch with Mike over here where I live. And we're like, hey, what's going on? And I just showed, like I said, I showed him on my phone the trailer. And I remember Mike saying, I want this. And I'm like, okay, I wish all deals were that easy, but that's how it happened. You know, Mike's got a great instinct to see, you know, where games are going. You know, a lot of publishers don't have that. They go with a lot of red tape. We got to do Excel sheets. You got to do, you know, it's Mike is like, boom, I want it. And here we are.
Wow.
Thank you, Nick.
I mean, that's an awesome story. Like how in some ways it's like a simple, it's like a beautifully simple thing that happened, but it's like kind of like a perfect disaster of circumstance. So I want to go back to like the whole Indiegogo thing. Cause a lot of the devs that we have on the show, they come from like a Kickstarter they're solo devs and they just make their thing and that's it. So how does Indiegogo differ from other platforms when it comes to like game development?
We chose Indiegogo over Kickstarter because there is no Kickstarter here in Portugal, you know. I don't know why, but...
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
That was the only reason why we chose Indiegogo, you know.
Wow. I wonder why, but though. Of all things, not to be available in Portugal. Yeah. Kickstarter.
I don't know.
It always comes down to taxes, right? It's some sort of tax thing.
Yeah, probably.
Because I thought you get to keep all the money regardless of if you hit your goals or not. Indiegogo works.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I'm glad we didn't get it because I know Indiegogo's, I know Mike and I talked about this. You spend so much time with the community management. That's why a lot of these games take a lot longer to make, because you're balancing making the game and you're dealing with, you know, they really are investors. You have a whole bunch of investors in your game. So you got to make your investors proud of the products. You got to keep talking to them. You got to give them updates. It's a lot of work. So I tell you, man, it was a godsend that, you know, Mike came in because we were excited. We're like, oh, good. Thank God we don't have to, deal with, you know, that large community, because it also eats up quite a bit of your money as well, because you have to spend a lot of your time and resources for the community.
Right. So I want to ask, the first big showing for this game was at PAX East, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
So were you in attendance, Fernando, or no? I don't remember if you were there or not.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay. So what was it like seeing your game on the floor of a big convention? And what was the reaction like from gamers who got to play your game for the first time?
Well, man, it was such an amazing experience, you know, like thanks to Mike and his team. And I always wanted to go to PAX, you know, especially because of that famous indie movie on Netflix. I think you all watch it. And you know, like, even though we took like just 2 months to develop that beauty that was displayed at PAX East, I think the most part of the feedback was really positive. You know, I was not expecting people to like the game this much, you know, and which is great for us because people haven't seen nothing yet. You know, there is so much more cool stuff in Evolutis. It's a shame because we're not attending E3, the castle. No one is attending E3, right? So, but we had some cool things planned to show at E3, but didn't happen. Maybe next year.
Right, but there's always that Summer of Gaming Festival and the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, other things you can look forward to next couple of months.
But man, I love it, you know, and I love the city as well. I've never been to Boston before. I think I didn't know it was such a beautiful place, you know, and I'm not sure if it's all Americans, but I don't know how you call people that were born in Boston. It's like Bostons or something.
Bostonians,
like
I think.
Yeah,
it's the actual
Bostonians.
Oh, okay.
Listen, Bostonians. As New Yorkers, you can't praise Boston too much.
There's no, I saw enough Tom Brady jerseys. I wanted to jump in the river or whatever.
I think people there are really friendly, you know, and very polite. And I'm not sure if it's because they are gamers, you know, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, PAX is always a lot of fun for us, and it's a very unique experience for a lot of developers because it is so mm-hmm. focused on the indies, really. I mean, and more so this year because some of the big guys just didn't show. Like, they just canceled, so there was mm-hmm. a lot more space that, you know, the indies could really shine, you know, aside from Nintendo, you know, shitting on everybody's lunch with their Animal Crossing booth. But other than that, it was pretty cool to see so much more focus on the indie games. So I guess that would be a good segue. So you mentioned that, like, you know, now you don't, your E3 plans are kind of gone to shit. You know, other thing, I'm sure you had other plans for other conventions, either in the States or out of the States. So what has the scramble been like? Like, what have you guys been trying to do to kind of make up that lost face time with the game?
I guess I'll take this one too. So, I mean, I actually started off as a developer, so I knew, like, the importance of wanting to see my game at the booths and, like, what the publisher can do. And we really had, like, every show planned this year. We were going to be at GDC, EGX Res, E3, Tokyo Game Show, Bit Summit, like, literally all of them.
Expensive.
not really. I mean, it was our first year of, like, just coming out and just, you know, supporting all the indie developers, and especially Fernando and this title, because this was our big, you know, first, like, really big title to push something out this huge. But we actually do, you know, have some new things planned. A lot of the industry guys have been, like, kind of coming together, like, what can we do? Some people, you know, can't afford to do this. And but yeah, so we do have some stuff planned. We haven't really unveiled much, but we are planning on doing some type of media blitz starting June. We always felt that Nintendo had a good thing going with their Nintendo Direct. Mm-hmm. And so, that's like a good example of it. If, like, some of us can get together and do something like that to help, you know, get these games out there. We're looking into something like this. But then the more important thing was we wanted people to try the games too. So we're looking into some new tech where people can actually still try the games out even though they're at home. But yeah, I mean, that's a little...
Yeah, but, that's really the biggest. That's really the biggest hurdle is there's no substitute for seeing people play your games, because even if they don't communicate with you, they're still communicating. Mm-hmm. Just based on what they do, whether they get up, walk away, whether they have a smile on their face, where the tongue starts sticking out the side because they're really focused, or they're horrified by the graphic nature of everything that happens when you decide to lop somebody's head clear off their shoulders. There's a lot of different things going on. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of developers really struggling to kind of find that middle ground. So I'm glad that there are a bunch of developer communities coming together to try and really solve these things. That would be really encouraging to see, especially during E3 time.
Yep. Yep. But we are trying to figure something out. We did get some updates that there are some conventions opening this year. I just can't see how it's going to happen, but,
I feel like is a moot point when people are going to probably be afraid to go. At least in certain, like, I can't imagine anything like that happening in New York, like where we are. Like, people, I mean, we're losing, you know, 500 people a day to this thing, or, you know, if not more. It's just, I don't know. I feel like we're definitely a ways away from that, especially in populated cities, which is where you want to show these games off to begin with. But we'll see. I mean, for people have been talking about making these demos more widely available anyway, because the more hands, the better. It would be nice to see, like, some sort of, like, this would be the perfect, absolute perfect thing for somebody like Google to jump in with Stadia. Like, Stadia has diddly dick right now, but if they come out and they say, we are the home of your E3 demos, you know, join Stadia with a free demo for a week and play everything that's on the show floor, stream it directly to your, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's very fitting, just to associate a dying show with a dying platform. Exactly. I love it. It's a perfect combination right there.
As you know, a negative times a negative makes a positive, Andy. As you know.
There's actually one, I wouldn't say positive sign to like some of these things being moved out, canceled, etc., is that a lot of them are like one on top of another. You know, you have PAX. First was supposed to be GDC, then PAX and E3. That it's like boom, 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 boom. And all the time you always want to show what? A different build, what's new. Right. And that takes a lot of time for indie. You know, Fernando's team, we're not 100, we're not 50 people. So it takes, you know, it takes a while to get these things right. So you keep disrupting, you know, development, where it's like, okay, Fernando, we just did this, and he'll work, they can work a little bit. They're like, oh, now we need an E3 demo. Then you got to just focus on that. So it takes time away from the other game. So it's a trade-off. Mm-hmm. So it kind of allows Fernando and his team to be like, okay, at least there's no E3. You kind of settle down a little bit and you can focus and just kind of like head down working on the overall game rather than, oh, I got to stop. I got to make, because look, you got to make the build. You got to test it, QA, fit. So it takes time. So that's like a little bit of silver lining, but right. You know, we'll see what happens.
This is a little,
it makes me wonder.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Andy.
No, like that's a good point. Like, imagine if you remove all of the convention event element from a dev team, will the game come out a lot sooner without these?
Mm-hmm.
As you put it, it's actually a pretty good question. I wonder, like, if what the impact is on small devs who are trying to get their work done, but they have to constantly get it out to show to promote it.
You know, it's interesting, and this is kind of like piggybacking off of that, because a lot of the companies that do use like a Kickstarter, they have to show something anyway. So a lot of times they're putting up their latest build, or they're going in early access, so they have something like that. They have like their next early access build. But what I do notice is that it's kind of a double standard, because AAA studios, or, you know, AA studios, as it were, or whatever, they don't have to do that. Like, they'll show an E3 demo, and then the next year at PAX East show the same demo, which we saw ourselves. Final Fantasy VII, Predator Hunting Grounds did the same thing. They showed the same demo that they did 6 months prior. But I guess they can get away with it because more people are clamoring to play those games, as opposed to an indie dev where it's like, well, I already saw this game last year, or 6 months ago, or 4 months ago, and it's the same thing. I'm going to walk away. You know, I feel like that's kind of like a double standard there. That kind of sucks for the little guys.
It's very community based, the indie games. I mean, it's all about building buzz, you know, doing YouTube, reaching out to influencers. Yeah, you got to keep it going and spreading the word. But yeah, it's an excellent point.
So how has it been going with you guys as far as community building? What's been the hardest part of it? What's been going really well for you guys? Speak on that front a little bit.
I'll take this one. It's actually been a smooth ride. I personally didn't want to show too much, cause I felt the game was a little still too early. And then Nick was saying, like, every time we were planning on doing a new show and showing something new, like, the amount of pressure that Fernando had and like just nonstop sleeping to get things ready. And, you know, he doesn't want to disappoint people. Right. So like, he would polish it to like literally like the last day, and he has to fly out here. And I, as somebody that's been on that side, I didn't want to do that to him at all. But after he got his first experience with PAX, it kind of rejuvenated him. And then like he saw how much people liked it. And, you know, I think he really enjoyed that environment. So like he actually wanted to keep doing it more and more and more. So we reactivated his Twitter. He's starting to engage with people. But at the same time now, I think he has a little bit of pressure on wanting to keep showing new content to people.
Mm.
But that's why I told him, like, hey, this is why I really wanted you to not take that Indiegogo, because I'm not going to press you to do these things, right? And so you don't have to worry if about delivering things on time. Whereas everybody else if you did do like a Kickstarter, they would be pushing you and demanding to see things. And I'm more of like a developer too. So I really wanted him to just take it slow and do it at his own pace. But yeah, the community is like kind of coming together, right, Fernando?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, the Kickstarter, because on the one hand, you have access to a lot of folks for immediate feedback, and you can be so transparent with your product, but then if you miss your deliverables and your dates, people don't hide their resentment or their critique of you at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've had some pretty cool, like recently we reached out, a couple like YouTube guys have their own channel, reached out to Fernando, and they've been following the game for a while. They're like, hey, do you guys have everything new? And we sent them like the walkthrough of the PAX demo and some information. And what's interesting about this game is that if you look at some of these YouTube pages for these, you know, these YouTubers, not to toot our own horn, but the game, but I will, but they're by far, like when we look at the views, they're like 3-4 sometimes 5 times what some of these other games are getting on their pages. So we have something, we look at that, we have something that's really kind of unique that people see, go like, dude, what is this game? You see what I'm saying? Kind of yeah. It grabs your attention.
100% does.
And that's what's really cool about this game. How many times that PAX guys, people are like, what game is this? Like, we heard about this, and we're like, oh, wow. It was really good to hear that, and it's a great pat on the back to, you know, Fernando and his team. But it's really interesting to see, you know, the likes, the thumbs up, and the comments. So we feel like we have something cooking, which is exciting.
One of the first things that I asked myself was, what IP is this? Because it doesn't look like it's something made from the ground up. It looks like something that had to have been established already, just based on the world building, the polish, how everything, the characterizations, just all of it just looked like it was like a game, like you guys signed an IP and are making this cool little adventure game for this IP. But like that is far from the case here.
It's a brand new IP, and Fernando has just built this whole world with all these characters, and every time I see something new, I'm just blown away. I just like, we're always, you know, messaging each other, he's always showing stuff, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. And honestly, we haven't even shown like not 99% of the game still. there's a lot of secrets that we've been holding back, and I think when the world sees some of the stuff, I'm not going to compare it to like Marvel, but it is like a whole world with all these characters. They're super fascinating. Like even some of the NPCs like are just so unique and so different. Like I don't even know how he comes up with some of these ideas.
Yeah, Fernando's got a sick mind.
Just do me a favor. When you guys start marketing hard for this game, when you do like launch trailers and little trailers and that kind of thing, just keep all that stuff a secret, because lately I feel like everything's getting spoiled in a trailer released by a company for your game. Like FF7. Death Stranding. There is so much endgame content in your launch trailer. It's like that game comes out next week, and I just saw what was maybe the ending. I don't know, possibly. And it is.
That's a great point. I remember when we started. Remember the guys that. So the teaser one we did when we first launched the game, we were discussing back and forth what should we do. Then Fernando came up with that cool little boom, boom, boom snippet, and Mike and him, they're all like, oh, this makes sense. And we kind of equated it to, remember when we first saw the Matrix teaser?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, what the hell movie is this? But then you were hooked. You had no idea what it was about, but you're like, this is cool. I'm all in. So we kind of took that approach, And I think we're going to plan that we're going to kind of level, we're going to kind of take that archetype and kind of build around that to kind of tease players what it's going to be. I mean, the trailer, dude's got that, he rips out the heart. I mean,
who, right, yeah.
Who, like, who does that?
What's, I mean, what's the context there? It's exactly. The second trailer.
Yeah, Fernando knows. And that's what's cool about it, where we just kind of came like, here you go, a little shocking moment. And, you know, and it's just fun, you know, let Fernando and his team just run wild, have fun, you know, be provocative, you know, push the limits and see what, you know, the people's responses are.
What can players look forward to outside of, like, you know, it's easy to look at it. It's easy to look at, especially the trailer, and say, oh, this is shocking. You know, what can they look forward to outside of just like a shock value or stunning visuals? Like let's talk about moment to moment gameplay. I think that's something that's kind of hard to explain, through a podcast, but like, if anybody can, it's the three of you. So, right, it's side scrolling, but it's kind of like, it's very methodical, it's very, very, you know, the pacing is very deliberate. It's not necessarily, you're not going around just swinging a sword, you know, or, you know, or swinging a gun or something like that. So why don't we just talk a little bit about like the moment to moment gameplay, just to give people a mental picture of what they'd be doing once they pick up the controller or the keyboard and mouse.
That's all you, Fernando.
Okay, so moment to moment, that stuff. there are some features that I would like to keep secret, you know.
Sure. But
one of the features that I like the most, I can tell you guys maybe off record, you know, but not right now. No. So,
but this is very much on said, record, Fernando, so you watch what you say.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know.
Spoiler-free zone, all right?
So you were right about everything you said, you know. We didn't want to come up with a game that you're just like swing your sword and killing foes every corner, you know. I'm not sure if we could convey this into the demo, but this game will be like kind of an open world game, you know. So you'll be able to get on your bike and go to different places, and you know, we are building this intelligence thing, you know. When you like approach a character or our enemy, or even if you just start shooting one another, you can like maybe open up a conversation and say, come on, guys, let's stop doing that. You know, I don't want to kill you or crazy things like that. You know, we want to give a lot of control to the players, you know, to do different things, not only just aim for the head and shoot enemies, you know. And I'm going to say,
do the three characters play differently?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, you know, it's easier for you when you are playing as Damon. He's the most intelligent person, you know. So it's easier for him to find different ways without using his gun, you know. And Derek, he's really unstable emotional person. So if you're playing as Derek, it'll be more difficult for you not to shoot people, you know. I don't want to explain so much how this is going to play out.
Sure.
But I think it's going to be something really unique. And I'm expecting people to really dig this, you know. And Chelsea, her body's like her weapon, you know. She's the most powerful among them. And they will all get together, you know, at some point in the game. The thing I was not going to tell you, but I will say anyway, it'll be able for you to swap characters anytime you want. I think you saw that in Grand Theft Auto,
yes.
You know. It
yes.
is not like in Grand Theft Auto, but it's something similar, you know. And like when you are in your house, you know, like Chelsea, when she's in the streets, she's a different person, you know. Like she puts on her mask. All characters, like human people, you know, like human beings, all human beings with people. So, but when you are alone in your apartment or your house, you'll be able to know more about the characters, you know. And if you, just an example, if you sit on the bed, you know, and you start to think like a human, just a normal human being, you know, and you can control the character's thoughts, you know. And imagine Derek, he sits on his bed and he starts to think about the Damon, you know, what they were talking about. So, you hold down a button and you pop up all of his thoughts, possible thoughts, you know. Imagine you go on and you choose that, oh, I think Damon is a liar, you know. So if you start following this line of thought, it will open new activities, you know, and new stuff for you to do.
What you tell the character to think will determine the path of the story?
Exactly.
Wow, that's cool. I like that. I like the sound of that.
And it can open new missions, you know, new activities. Like if you start to believe it, it's just an example. Okay, I'm not spoiling the game.
Yeah.
If you start,
he's reassuring Mike and Nick and his family. No spoilers, guys. Just let me say my thing.
Yeah, I'm like,
it is just an example, you know. If you start to thinking that maybe Chelsea and Damo, they are lying to you. And you start like cooking this idea, you know, in the middle of the night, it will open a new quest for you, and you can like maybe just get your gun and go after them, or you know, like to see what's really going on.
Cool.
Exactly.
That's cool.
And I'm wondering, could you kill one of the other characters?
All right, relax.
It's possible.
No, I'm not saying you should answer, but now my mind's going in certain places.
Well, it's Nick. There's an interesting part of the demo, just to give you a little more granular what Fernando was saying. So there's a part when after you get out of the bike to the other part of the city, when you're walking by, you're going to see, correct me if I'm wrong, Fernando, you're going to see like a crime scene in the background down an alley. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is depending on what you do earlier in the game and what kind of choices you make, you can actually stop that crime from happening.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's a bunch there's a whole bunch of like interesting things where we'll play around with a little bit of the narrative. Everything will converge, but we have these like really kind of open-ended storylines that kind of open, close. So that's the kind of fun part for replayability, because like if I'm playing the game, it's like, I didn't do that shit. How'd you get that? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of playing around with that.
Now, if I stop the crime, can I commit the crime?
Yes, for sure.
Oh, Andy.
You were saying, Mike?
I was going to say, you know, we're big fans of like Metroidvania games. I'm pointing this out that a lot of people, when they see like the 2D visuals and then, you know, the guy being able to run from side to side and pick up things, it's not a Metroidvania game. So, we just wanted to make sure people knew it wasn't like a Metroidvania game where it was like action adventure based. This game is very driven by story. So, like you were saying, it's a little bit slower paced. It's a lot about exploring and then kind of figuring out the characters. And then with that being said, there's a lot of new gameplay elements too that we have just not shown anything to. And that's one of the big secrets on the game too, like on how the game plays. And so, one of the biggest things for this game is just the way a story is being told. And so, and we really felt like video games are the only way to express this type of new narrative.
So you're promising a deep story-driven game with amazing graphics, and then when they get their hands on it and the gameplay sets in, it'll blow their fucking minds.
That's what we were hoping for. And honestly, like to this day, I still don't even know how these guys are able to animate some of the stuff, right? And so it's just mind-blowing. It's a very, very small team.
How small is the team?
Three-member team, you know, the core team.
Wow. Ooh, okay.
Four people? Is that what you just said?
Three.
Three.
Oh, it's even less.
You know, when you see all those graphics and that amount of animation, and you saw like the NPCs walking by and everything, three people are doing that.
So that's all in-house. There's no like, it's not going to like overseas and some like China animation studio. Like, here, guys, draw this for us. Just draw this, and we'll program.
Because
it's just the key guys. They're doing everything in-house.
I think this has like surpassed Cuphead for me in terms of look and hand-drawn animation, because that looks like it harkens back to like those 1930s cartoons. I get it; it's all nice and cute, but this is just, it evokes so much more better imagery. Like, again, those 80s animes, like a Cowboy Bebop, for example, that kind of a look.
Oh, Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys said it early on. I kind of smirked a little bit, Mike. I'm sure you did as well. When we were kind of doing like how do you pitch this game? I said it's like, it's a playable anime.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of in our PowerPoint and pitch text, which is kind of funny. So I'm glad you picked up on that. Because we kind of, yeah, that's what it was. We're like, what's our kind of interesting hook besides the visuals? We're like, oh, let's just make it a playable anime. And, you know, we're going, what's interesting from PAX, we didn't really pick up on this one, but a lot of people called out the movie Heavy Metal, that you remember mm-hmm. the 80s,
yeah.
Which is like, oh, that's really, if you look back, you're like, oh shit, there is that flavor to it as well. So yeah, it's just really cool. I mean, wait to see the bike when the bike crashes. That's awesome.
Oh God. So are you guys targeting, PC or home consoles too for Evolutus?
Both.
Cool.
Both.
Awesome.
Switch? I wonder. This on the Switch.
Why not?
Yeah.
Allow it.
we're not confirming, but yeah.
Not confirming.
PC. We're saying PC consoles.
PC consoles.
Yeah, PC. Keep it broad.
PC consoles. Next gen consoles. What? Who? What? What? You have a dev kit?
Cool. Game Boy Advance.
All right. 3DS. All right. So. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go into our rapid fire, which we're going to do a little differently, listeners. Because there are three guests this week, what we're going to do is we're going to ask which one of the three is more likely to blank or it, you know, whatever. And I'll start it off. Which one of you is likely to win a pizza eating contest?
Me, Michael.
Probably Mike.
Oh, Michael.
Yeah.
Mike's.
Yeah, they all knew right away.
Mike's an Mike. I call him. We call him an undercover grubber. Yeah, he can eat.
No.
All right, Andy, you go.
Who's likely not to separate the recycling from the actual trash?
Ooh.
That's me. I know. I can tell that. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. Mm. They probably don't know, but I'll call myself right. That's totally me.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Who is more likely to forget to wash their hands after using the toilet?
That's me.
That's Fernando.
I always forget. Yeah.
You know what? I was going to
say. My wife is always complaining about. She's like, no, man, your hands stink.
Who is more likely to chase a bear into the woods?
Jesus Christ.
I don't think any of us. I think we're chicken shit. I think we're running away. We're like, we're getting an Uber. We're like, we're out of here. Yeah, we're not messing.
You're not going to stand on each other's shoulders and just try and scare the bear away.
Nope.
Look big.
we're video game guys.
Make
we're
yourself
heroes.
Big.
Looks like my mother-in-law.
Ooh, run away. Who is more likely? Who is more likely to own a real sword?
Mike.
Mike.
Me.
Mike.
Yeah, me.
So you got to see one of these days. You got to see Mike's video game collection.
Oh boy,
it's like one of the, what is there, seven wonders of the world? What are eight? Mike's the other one.
Yeah. Everybody who comes to and sees it is just like, wow, this is bigger than GameStop. It's like headquarters.
No, it is GameStop. It's called Mike's.
Yeah,
Mike's number one.
So, as a quick aside, Mike, what is your most prized possession in your video game collection?
You know, so it's bad when he has to think about it.
Yeah,
you know, that's why it's a deep question.
Watch out. He's going to steal.
I mean, I have a lot of stuff, but there's two things I own.
Isn't like one of the Metroid
yeah.
or something?
Mm-hmm. That one is probably that's probably my number one. So I have a Nintendo DS where there was only one made.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's called the Sundance Brown DS. Yeah.
How'd that happen?
What is the Sundance Brown DS?
So like I think like I forgot when it was, but I want to say like 2004 or 2003. The tsunami happened, and then so Nintendo made three special DSs, a green, a blue, and a brown one, and they took it to Sundance Film Festival. They auctioned it off to, like, the actors, like, the famous actors, And then whatever it sold for, they matched it, and everybody donated it, all the money to like the tsunami charity. And then the actors, we auctioned it back off to the public, and then that's when I bought it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't remember how much, but I remember I paid a lot, and I remember a lot of people offering me a lot of money after that.
Well, there's a backup plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you fund your games. Got it. All right. Who is most likely to get a visit from the FBI?
That would probably be me.
Same reason.
Is it because you're sore?
There's actually a real reason for that. But yeah, that Mike is correct. It would be.
Yeah. It actually happened to me recently.
Oh my.
Oh my God.
Yep. I didn't do anything wrong. Actually, I've been done wrong.
Oh.
He was a victim. Mike was the victim. Mike was the victim.
Yeah, I was a victim of some cyber attack.
Oh, what a twist. That's how they.
Yeah,
it's very fitting.
Which one of you?
Out of all the questions, I love how you picked the FBI. And Mike's like, well,
very
you
specific
know,
question.
Well, yeah.
Here we go.
What do you know? So, which one of the three of you is more likely to become a supervillain?
Probably Fernando. Really? Me? I was thinking Fernando because the stuff he comes up with.
No way.
You got a crazy mind, man. You can put it down on paper. So I thought you.
Yeah, but he's on paper, so that's a problem.
I think you're projecting there, Nick. You're trying to
totally
make him the bad guy. Meanwhile, you're like robbing the bank in the background.
I'm totally projecting, so it's kind of half and half. So,
Nick. I was just kidding, by the way.
I know. I take no offense. I probably could be the bad guy, but for like I said, Fernando is a little more. Sick and twisted because of the stuff he comes up with his game. That's why.
Yeah.
And watch out. I was born in Brazil, you know? The place is so corrupted.
All right, Andy, you go.
Who is more likely to leave their baby on a bus?
Not me.
Well, I don't know. That's a good one. I mean, probably Fernando is a little absent-minded.
No way.
No, because he's so enthralled and
I lost everybody.
One eternity later.
Right answer to the question.
Okay, sorry
that is
about
the right
that.
Answer.
Oh.
Ooh, and
right
you
there.
Still married her?
Yeah. You know what though? I'm going to tell you guys. So I'm from LA. I've been to New York. I did not like the pizza there. I just did not get it. I've tried it all, right?
Can't all be winners. All right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joshing.
Boston.
All right. I am
Boston
back.
Had the best
so
pizza.
I don't know where we left off because it all just cut out at once.
No one knew you were gone, to be honest. I didn't say anything.
Right, but it wasn't recording any of that because I record everything on my end, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So
that's
I have
great.
No idea.
It all just went to shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, the last thing we were talking about was the supervillain, right? All right.
Oh boy.
So then,
I've lost track
so
entirely.
So then, it's your question, Andy, and then we'll wrap it up. All right. Your question, and then I'll hit it with one more.
I've asked him like five questions since you disappeared.
Well, I was texting you. okay.
I was so deep in the conversation, like I just wasn't paying any attention.
Man, now we can't recreate the magic.
No, it's dead. Now you ruined it.
Well, you know what? I have questions.
Do you have questions? So do
maybe,
I.
Maybe you didn't.
I'm questioning
ask,
this
maybe,
whole entire.
Maybe you didn't ask this question. I don't know.
Go ahead.
All right. From the three of you, this is a different one. Which one of you do you think you could take in a fight, me or Andy? Mm-hmm.
Hard to say.
I'll take you both on.
Ooh, I like it. I like the cut of your jean. Go ahead, Andy.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I had some good ones before. Now my mind's a blank.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. The three of you are in
which one?
A Cessna. You're in one of them Cessna planes. Pilot goes out. He's dead. Which one of you is going to take that control stick and land that bad boy?
Me.
On, yeah, maybe Mike. I'm pulling a Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. I'm grabbing an inflatable raft and jumping out, and hopefully I'll land on the snow. Yeah, that was a great scene.
It was a pretty good scene.
But probably Mike. I'd probably let Mike take that. I'll be like panicking or something like that.
Mike, what makes you qualified to do such a thing?
I play a lot of flight simulators.
Ah.
Oh, I got this.
Sneaks on a plane.
Don't worry,
situation.
I got this guy.
I like it.
Yeah. Find us some land.
All right, Andy, hit us up with one more question, then we'll get out of here.
All right, let's see. Who would be more likely to squander their lottery winnings on dumb shit?
I have a feeling I think the answer is Mike on this one.
Mike.
I was going to go for, yeah.
It was dead silence. We're all like, yeah.
It's like, it's all pizza and swords.
I'm now collecting swords, guys. I'm done with video games.
I've leveled up. Made out of swords.
That's a great name. That's a great name for a place, Pizza and Swords.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That's how you cut the pizza.
I'd go there.
Folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. I do apologize for the little screw up there at the very end, but my internet died, and that's just things that happen here in the land of podcasting over the internet. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy, and our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. Gentlemen, I don't know which one of you wants to take this, but where could everybody find what you guys and all the game and everything else?
Twitter.
Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, and the website as well. Oh, my Twitter is Evolutus1.
Evolutus1?
Number one.
Number one. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Evolutus number one. And it's, what, Mike, what's yours? Yours is at PM Studios?
I think so. At PM Studios USA? I'm not sure. Sadly, I'm
the
sorry.
The answer is Google it. Folks, if you want to know where to find them,
if all there is the Google game.
All right, folks, if you want to watch what we do on Twitch, we're on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our theme song, Retro Chatters, by Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio, excuse me. And Andrew Douglas does our cartoon art, and Matt Murray does our overlays and our logos. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, and just $1 gets you into our VIP Discord and a bonus episode in which you vote the topic every single month. Remember, we do have other shows that we do. One is live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. That's on Sundays. That's the Games Cast. That's where Andy and I debate the hottest topics in gaming. That goes up on your podcast services as well. The same channel. It's not even a different channel. You subscribe to this channel and you get it all. And that goes up on Monday mornings. And then every other Friday, we are doing seasonal content. And we are in the middle of season one of Dual Screens Versus, a show where Andy and I yell at each other about various things. And a guest moderator comes in and gives us arbitrarily gives us points. And then we declare a winner. And that's really all that show is about. And it's a lot of fun. We had a blast. Andy, this last one that we did was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. It was a lot of laughs. Can't believe it goes up on the old podcast there.
Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us. Thank you, Fernando. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Mike. It was a pleasure hanging out with you guys tonight.
Thank you, guys.
It was fun. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It's been amazing.
Good luck with everything.
Get some sleep, Fernando.
Yeah, go to bed, Fernando. It's too late. Good luck with everything. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent to each other.